And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, just making common sense like a superpower. All right, hey, listen, you know, every once in a while when I'm prepping the show, I look around and I find, oh, this news is good. Oh, that's right around here. Oh, this news is important. That's in our listening area. Oh, this is like happening like in and around and amongst us. And when that happens, it means that I've got to do what I call cooking up a batch of home fries. Oh, yeah. Cooking them in the pan, baby. Smell them. All right, so we're cooking up a batch of home fries, which means like news that you can relate to because it's in your backyard. Here's one that, listen, how many times have we talked about libraries lately?
Too much.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Yeah, actually. Used to be libraries were those things that flew under the radar and you didn't even know they were there because they were quiet places where you just went to get a book or check out a, you know, an audio book or whatever. No, now they are the centerpiece of all things controversial. They're the culture war. That's the hub of the culture wars is the library. Got a story here from 1819 News, Dateline Today. I hold it in my calloused former paratrooper hands. It says, when the Alabama Public Library Service met last month, Chairman John Wall requested a list of books that were being reviewed by the Fairhope Public Library Board of Trustees. The library has been asked to get into compliance, and they have moved 7 challenged books from the teen section to the adult section. The library has also established what they call a tiered library card system that requires parents to choose a special library card if they want their children to be allowed to check out books from the adult section. I mean, anyway. The library also provided a list of 17 challenged books, showing that 10 remain in the teen section. Okay, so what we're saying here is this. I don't know why, but Fairhope, and by the way, Fairhope is a beautiful community. Anybody who's been down there, I mean, it is a gorgeous little Bayside community, kind of an artsy town. It is also, I would say, somewhat of a liberal enclave. I look at this and think, sooner or later, y'all, you got to figure out life. It ain't hard to run a library, but you're making it hard. They are. They are making it hard. There are 10 books right now that they are openly admitting are still sitting on the shelves in the section of the library designed for minors. Here's one. It's called Beyond Magenta by Susan Cooklin. It's a book that explains what it means to be transgender and how to be someone who identifies as transgender. Well, outstanding. Got another one called Crank. Crank by Ellen Hopkins tells the story of a teenager experiencing a methamphetamine addiction. Wonderful. Got another one called Doing It. Let's Talk About Sex. It's in the kids section, by the way. It's a how-to guide for teens. Oh, good. A how-to guide. It serves as a guidebook for topics with various sexual orientations, sex toys, and pornography. That's in the teen section of the Fairhope Library. How about this one? Identical. It's a story of identical twins who experience sexual abuse at the hands of their father. Well, now. I could go on, but you get the picture. What I'm saying here is they are... there's also The Perks of Being a Wallflower. That's the book by Stephen Chbosky that addresses LGBTQ issues, suicide, and drug use. I look at this and think, why? Now, here's the thing. I'm gonna remind you guys. You have a right to say something. Now, the liberal left, the progressive left, wants you to believe and wants the world to believe that if you go, excuse me, why is that in the children's section? That you're somehow a book banner. Charlene and I went to, I think it was Books a Million. Yeah, we went to Books a Million. And there was a whole display in Books a Million in Gadsden, Alabama. The whole display, and it was marked banned books. That's what it was, banned books. Had like this whole like thing set up kind of out in the center, banned books. And it was all the books that are banned. And I looked at it and I thought, my gosh. The lovely Charlene was having none of it. My sweet, demure wife, the one who doesn't like to have to get in the mix when she doesn't have to, she had to that day. She went up to the counter and goes, excuse me, I'd like to address this display over here called banned books. And the girl immediately got defensive. Well, it's about the books that aren't being allowed to be in certain. And Charlene said, you realize if you can sell them right here in the store, that means they're not banned.
Yeah, exactly. That's the irony of it.
That's the deep irony. If you can get it and put it in your child's hand as a parent, that means it's not banned. It just means that our taxpayer dollars don't want it in the children's section. That's all we're saying. My point to y'all is, I would encourage you to do the same. I would encourage you to follow the lovely Charlene's example. Just go ask the question. Make them explain it. The reality is they usually can't. If you ask them, excuse me, why do you think this is appropriate for the children's section? Don't ask them to get rid of it. Just say, could you please move this to the adult section? If they say, why? Understand now that the law allows you to do what's called challenging a book. All you're doing is challenging it. All you're doing is saying, as a citizen, I have concerns. I don't believe that's age appropriate. I'm challenging your book. And they're supposed to deal with it. If they don't, and they want to call you a book banner, just remind them that you're not asking for it to be burned. You're not asking for it to be thrown away. You're not even asking for it to be, you know, put on some kind of no-fly list. All you're saying is, could you move it over there to the adult section where it belongs? And that ain't hard. All right, home fries. Good Lord. I spent the whole time talking about libraries again. But when we get back, I got some stuff. You remember the whole thing about U.S. senators being monitored by Jack Smith? Remember that? Our own Tommy Tuberville and Marsha Blackburn in Tennessee. Well, this listening area has got two senators, basically, that were being monitored by the Biden DOJ. And that's crazy. But now, one of them, and I'll tell you who in a minute, is thinking about filing suit. Yeah, you heard me. Filing suit against Jack Smith himself for overreach and for abuse of power. We'll find out. I'll tell you about it when we get back. Coming up soon, too, right now, we're going to have a call from Secretary of State Wes Allen. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. Alabama and Tennessee's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international. Oh, yeah, like the dude just said. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, welcome to hour number two already. I'm not even sure what happened to hour number one. Hour number two here on a Taco Tuesday, because it's often about the food. All right, but we're gonna shift gears here a little bit. I'm in the home fries section right now. We're talking about news that relates to the listening area, people in and around you that can actually, you know, relate to the story because it's in your own backyard. And coming on the show right now is someone who's been a friend of the show for quite a while. Secretary of State Wes Allen is the Alabama Secretary of State. He has served in that office now for a full term. Prior to that, he was in the Alabama House of Representatives. Prior to that, he was a probate judge in Pike County. He's been a chief election officer now at both the county and the state level. And he is now currently also running for lieutenant governor for the state of Alabama. So on the phone right now, Secretary of State Wes Allen, how you doing?
I'm well, Senator. Thanks so much for having me on, and congratulations to you.
Well, thank you, my friend. I appreciate that very much.
Very proud of you.
Well, thank you, and that means a lot. And it's also one of those things where I don't even know what I don't know, but I do feel like God's in it, so we're heading there.
God ordained. Amen.
Hey, I'm gonna jump in with a story that just broke. I'm talking literally like in the last hour. There's a story on Fox. One of your peers in Ohio, Secretary of State Frank LaRose, he says his office has now just uncovered over 1,000 non-citizens that appear to be like illegals, I guess, that appear to be registered to vote, and maybe even 167 of those appear to have already voted at some point in a federal election. And they're sending the cases to the DOJ. I mean, can you comment on this a little bit? Ohio there, what's going on?
Yeah, I know Secretary LaRose, he's a good one. And I've been knowing him, you know, 3.5 years now. But I know he works hard, and his staff works hard to maintain election integrity, just like we do. And that SAVE database is the same one, Phil, that I tried to gain access to through DHS. Back during the Biden administration, and I just kept getting shut down. And of course, we had to go about it a different way. But now that, thank goodness, Trump is in office, thank goodness, he and DHS has made that SAVE database where, you know, we can cross-check our statewide voter files against that SAVE database. That is a database of legal non-citizens that are in the country legally.
Okay.
And so he's, what Frank has done is run the cross check on that. And that's what he's, I haven't read the article yet that you're referencing, but I take your word for it. He's run the cross check. We signed on with the SAVE database with DHS, signed the agreement with them a while back. And we are, going through that process now. We don't have anything to report as of yet, but we are working extremely hard. We have a regular and robust voter file maintenance program that we have been putting into place. As a matter of fact, the system that we have put in place over the last 3.5 years, we enshrined in the state law so that no matter who the secretary is that comes in after us, they will have to comply with and follow the law to, just like I've talked about this before, I think I said on your show, it's daily hygiene.
Yeah.
Think about brushing your teeth and washing your hair.
Yeah.
That's how we take the approach with voter file maintenance.
Well, and rightfully so. And I've seen it, because I think I've told you before that as an attorney, I actually assisted someone who had had just lost a city council race by one vote. And we proved mm-hmm. that 9 of the provisionals should have counted, but it was an issue at the registrar level. And unfortunately, when we opened them, she still lost by 1. But I like to say mm-hmm. we won the case and lost the race. But nonetheless, we proved that 9 of them should have counted. Well, that's cool. Now, you guys have done an amazing amount of election integrity and ballot security and cleaning up the voter rolls. But in your role right now as Secretary of State, how often do you interact with people like Frank LaRose from Ohio? I mean, do y'all like collaboratively work together a lot?
Well, I see him and most all of our other secretaries from around the country at our annual conference, which normally takes place in January of each year in Washington, D.C. But we talk occasionally, especially I talk to the ones around me a little more often than our sister states, but because we work with them signing bilateral agreements to share our voter files with, like Tennessee and Georgia, Florida, Mississippi, Louisiana, those type things. But there are some strong Republican conservative secretaries out there throughout the country that are working hard to make sure that we have up-to-date, clean, and accurate voter files. I mean, that's not too much to ask. And
yeah,
and that's what the people of this state elected me to do. And I heard it loud and clear on the campaign trail. And we put together a team in our office that are first-round draft picks, and we get in. We do a lot on the back end of things that people just, it just doesn't get me any headlines, but you work at it day in and day out with the boards of registrars, with the probate judges, and you go and carry out the laws of this state and uphold the laws of this state to run clean, accurate elections.
Well, and I'll give props too. I don't know if people realize sometimes the amount of time and hours y'all put in, but I was actually talking to one of your staff last week. And he said, don't worry, I'm going to be here late this evening. We have a special election and I can't leave till all those results come in. I thought, well, that's, people don't even think about that. I mean,
there's one today. There's one going on today in Coleman.
Oh, is there really? Wow. So, okay.
Yeah. There's another one going on today. Sure is.
Wow. Well, hey, let me shift gears. So you've been a pretty effective Secretary of State. I mean, the nice thing is ain't nobody complaining, except for Democrats.
Right.
Well, but now you're running for Lieutenant Governor. And having served in the Senate myself, I know the value of a strong Lieutenant Governor, someone wielding the gavel who presides over the Senate. It's a different role. I mean, the interesting dynamic is people don't realize the lieutenant governor's position is actually technically a part-time position, kind of like the legislature is. So what are your thoughts? How's the race going right now? 67 counties is a lot, but you've run statewide before.
Yeah, I have. And, there's no one, in my opinion, obviously more prepared to become and serve as lieutenant governor more than myself. I mean, judicial, legislative, executive branch experience. Someone that understands the position, number one, does not have a vote in the Senate, as you just kind of alluded to. They preside over the state Senate. They maintain order. They call balls and strikes. One thing that a lot of people don't realize is the appointing authority to the unelected boards and commissions that are set up legislatively in this state. About 167 or so boards and commissions that the lieutenant governor has appointment authority over that are unelected, but you know, you appoint people, and we've got to make sure, Phil, as I'm sure you agree, to appoint strong, conservative, common sense people to these boards and commissions, because those things are really, really important and can use their relationships. I mean, the relationships that I've been able to establish from my probate judge days through the legislature through today, with all these local elected officials, knowing these communities, knowing their needs, to be able to use those relationships and have a positive influence on the outcome of Alabama. You know, I don't think there's anybody, I know there's not anybody else in this race that is more prepared to step in there as Lieutenant Governor and to help Coach Tuberville accomplish his agenda.
Well, okay, and you said that, so let me address the elephant in the room. A.J. McCarron just jumped in, and I think it's one of those things, it's one of those names that came out of the blue. I did not see that. That was not on my bingo card for this year. He's in now, and I got to ask you, have you run across him yet? Have y'all been on the campaign trail yet? And is it true, in your opinion, is it true that he has never registered to vote in the state of Alabama, and has he even addressed that yet?
I have not met AJ. We've not ran across each other on the campaign trail. He has addressed it, I believe, in a AL.com article recently. And no, he has only recently registered to vote, never voted. So that is what I know at this time.
Wow. I mean, so that's at that point. I mean, one of the questions that I had back when I heard his name, and I'm just picking right now, I know that. You don't have to comment on this if you don't want to, but I questioned his citizenship because he's been playing ball in other states. And so the story is that he has a residence in Alabama, and I would hope that he would have figured that out before he signed up for the race. But now we find out he had never registered to vote. Now I guess the question is, did he vote anywhere else? And so if we're saying that the guy wants to be lieutenant governor who's never even cast a vote, or he must have voted somewhere else, that's going to be a dynamic that I think is going to continue to play out. Would you agree?
Well, I'll just say that, you know, this campaign is going to be about more than just talk. It's going to be about real action. And, you know, I think, Phil, you know me, you've been knowing me a while, since the days when I would come up there as a probate judge when you were a state senator and monitor legislation that affected probate court and judicial branch, that I'm a man of action and have done some things that have accomplished real concrete things for where I was serving at the time. And there's nobody else in this race that stood up for marriage as a man, as a union between a man and a woman when I was a probate judge, when the federal judge struck down our laws. There's no one else in this race that was the tip of the spear, you know, getting the legislation across the finish line that protected these children from puberty blockers, cross-sex hormones, and the sex change operation, these transgender ideology. There's nobody else in this race that has, you know, sponsored legislation to cut red tape and be a friend of small business. Obviously, my record as a Secretary of State attending to that office and protecting Alabama's election. So we're very excited about the campaign in front of us. And I love Alabama, and I'm running to be the next Republican lieutenant governor because I love this state and I'm proud of my conservative record.
Well, you handled that question very well. Well, good on you. We'll do our own bird dogging of the situation. But for right now, Secretary of State Wes Allen, current Secretary of State for the state of Alabama, also candidate for lieutenant governor. If folks want to find out more about you, where can they go?
Well, you know, there's many places that you can see where I'm at. I'm on Facebook. It's Wes Allen for Alabama. On Instagram and on social media, Wes Allen for Alabama 2026 on Instagram. WesAllenforAlabama.com. WesAllenforAlabama.com.
All right, Wes Allen, Secretary of State. Thanks very much, and hopefully we'll be talking again in the near future.
Well, nothing but the best to you, Senator, and looking forward to what God's got in store for you and your family, and it's going to be exciting times ahead of you.
Thank you, my friend. Take care. All right, well, JP and I will parse out the issues of A.J. McCarron's voting record here momentarily, but in the meantime, we're taking a break. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, just saving the world one soundbite at a time. Bulletproof influence, y'all. Bulletproof influence. All right, hey, listen, I got a. So JP looked up that article that I hadn't seen yet, the one that's on AL.com. Phil, are y'all going to AL.com? We are. Because we'll go places where you don't have to.
Well, in all fairness, it's AL.com referencing Alabama Daily News. So.
No, really?
Yeah.
is it an article written by Mike Kaysen?
Yes.
And I will say this. I know Mike Kaysen. He's a good dude. I've never had a problem with Mike Kaysen. AL.com editorial board, different story. But Mike Kaysen's a pretty good dude. All right, so what's the article say, JP?
Well, it says what y'all were discussing. AJ McCarron has not registered to vote in any state, not
any
in
state.
Alabama. Yeah, so he has not registered to vote in any state. But apparently McCarron told Alabama Daily News in response to a question about not registering previously that he was, quote, the ultimate outsider candidate. So apparently he's spinning this as him not even voting in elections makes him an even bigger outsider, which
that's pretty outside politics.
That
all
is,
right,
that is like, yeah, almost a little bit too outside politics. Like, people get on board with the guy who cares about policy and politics, but is not a politician, and that outsider. But a guy who hasn't even been voted anywhere in elections makes you wonder, okay, what does this guy even believe in? You know, politically.
He says in one of the articles that I saw that he says in his words, he quote publicly endorsed Trump in 2016.
Yeah.
What, like on social media? Like, I hope Trump wins? What'd he say?
Yeah, I mean, there's a picture he took with him, I guess, before one of his rallies that he posted. So he's fallen back on that. But that is interesting that he has not even registered to vote in any of the states that he lived in.
So if you care enough to endorse a guy in 2016, how is it you never even registered to vote since then? Mm-hmm. And that's almost a decade ago.
Yep.
I mean,
it is. It's 9 years ago.
Wow.
So, I don't know. It's going to be interesting. At least that kind of answers the residency, maybe, a little
maybe.
Bit. If
okay,
you know.
And I am casting aspersions, and I know it, all mm-hmm. right? I don't want to go too far down the road with speculation, evil, but I will say this. We better not find him registered to vote in Cincinnati or something like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
because it's
yeah.
easily verifiable.
Yes.
All you got to do is contact the registrar's office in the counties where he used to live and see if he was registered. It's not hard. It's a public record. You know, one of the things that's interesting is when you're a campaign, like when you're running statewide, you're allowed to get the voter registration list in order to, you know, campaign with known Republicans. You can send your mailers to known Republicans. Well, part of the way you do that is you acquire the voter because they're public record. And so this is going to be easy to find out.
Yeah.
So if he registered in was he Philly or no, St. Louis?
He was in the Bengals for many years, but then the UFL team he was just on was the St. Louis Battlehawks.
St. Louis, yeah. So if we find him registered to vote, it's going to be easy to confirm. Mm-hmm. All right. So it's the bottom line is this is not do him favors. So I'm going to ask you: Is the Bammer world out there going to embrace him simply because he's a Bammer, or are they going to go, "Wow, hang on a second. What do you mean you never voted?" Because technically, you're both. You're a Bammer, and you're, oh, by the way, somebody who really cares.
I mean, yeah, I'll just say that I'm not going to vote for somebody just because they're a Bama guy. Like Because I'm actually very engaged in politics, but you know, the Alabama fan who doesn't even know anybody on the ballot, but just sees AJ McCarron, that guy won two national championships. I don't know that they may do that, but people who are actually engaged in politics, like me, like I'll vote for Coach Tuberville. I think he's an awesome senator, going to be an awesome governor, and I'm not just going to vote for AJ McCarron because right now Wes Allen is the candidate in my opinion. So no, not me, but I can't answer for all of the Bama fans out there.
Okay. We'll see what happens.
We will see.
Adam from Athens is not a fan of AJ McCarron. I won't read what he said, but there he is. Tom with all the kids says...
Sent in three texts.
Oh, he sent in three texts. And I'm not sure that the no voting matters. I spent the first 18 years of my military career not voting because I thought it was my duty to be apolitical. Unless, like you said, he was voting in other states. And then he said, did realize that I was wrong and I vote all the time now. Well... there you have it. You never lose your constitutional rights. All right, John, Tom with all the kids. Appreciate you. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. Hey, folks, Phil Williams here. I want to remind you that Inspire Advisors is one of our sponsors, and they are doing amazing work. Look, I know this audience. You're the kind of folks who believe in standing up for your principles. You're good stewards of your resources. But what if the companies you were investing in don't reflect your values at all? Well, that's why you need to meet Paul Breyer and his team at Inspire Advisors. Because Inspire Advisors, they are experts in the field of biblically responsible investing. They can help you grow your bottom line while also be proud of what companies you're investing in. Inspire Advisors, check them out. Their website, www.moneypatternwealth.com, and tell them you heard about it on Right Side Radio. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, covering down on some major ground across the southeast U.S. of A. Big old radio footprint, y'all. Big old radio footprint in places like Alabama and Tennessee and Georgia and Mississippi. I'm just saying. And then, oh, by the way, ton of y'all live streaming the show every single day on X, YouTube, Rumble, Facebook, and our website, rightsidemedia.org. And then tons of y'all. I mean, this week we might hit 365,000 downloads of the show's podcast.
Not might, we will.
Okay. I like it. Anyway, that's just monstrous. But I say all that to acknowledge the fact that we know where you're catching the show, and however you're catching the show means the world to us. So thank you very much for it. Hey, I just realized I had a question. I forgot. I got so wrapped up in the A.J. McCarron thing with Secretary of State Wes Allen. I had another story with his name on it. And I meant to actually ask you about this. So I got an article here from AL.com. Phil, did you go to AL.com again? I did. I go these places so you don't have to. But Mike Kaysen again, like I said, good dude. Mike Kaysen for AL.com wrote a piece, came out today. Says Alabama Secretary of State Wes Allen and a Republican state senator want to change our state constitution to require state elected officials to be citizens born in the United States, not just a naturalized citizen. They want born here. Now, you may wonder, is there precedent for this? Yes, you cannot be the president of the United States unless you were born in the United States, naturalized citizens. For instance, Arnold Schwarzenegger, he was able to be governor of California. He could not run for president of the United States. And there was a time when it was even being discussed. Can we get that changed? It's Arnold. I mean, granted, that would have been quite the American dream. But nonetheless, what we're watching right now, Secretary Allen, who is running for lieutenant governor, he said the idea is to apply the same standard that requires the president and vice president to both be born in the United States. He said, we're just mirroring what the Constitution requires of our president and vice president. We want to make sure no potential foreign influence or foreign meddling could impact our state's highest elected leaders. And that would exclude, then, naturalized citizens born outside the country who would complete the process to become citizens. Now, I have naturalized citizens in my family. I get it. I don't know. How y'all feel about this? I want to hear your thoughts on this. Naturalized citizens. I don't think I'd ever really thought about this much, but Allen said he came up with the idea because of what he says is a trend of people being born outside the United States running for high-profile offices, and he named a few. He named, of course, Zohran Mamdani. There's one. You can think of Ilhan Omar. There's one. Rashida Tlaib. Rashida Tlaib. She may have been born here, but she's a Palestinian. Her family immigrated. Anyway, he points out Ruwa Rahman is a Democratic candidate for governor in Georgia. She was born in Jordan, is the granddaughter of Palestinian refugees. So I don't know. I got mixed feelings on this one. I'd like to hear your thoughts. Naturalized citizens, are they okay? Or should we say, you know what? Just be born here. It's okay. Your thoughts on it. What else have I got in my stack? Oh, I teased this earlier. Story came out yesterday. Our buddy Yaffe wrote this one for Yellowhammer. Yellowhammer News. So many of y'all are aware that this show is in Tennessee also. We are also on WGOW out of Chattanooga. But we're also crossing the lines from WVNN out of Huntsville. So that being said, all you Tennessee folks, listen up. U.S. Senator Marsha Blackburn, which I think Marsha Blackburn is pretty daggum sharp. I think she's been a great U.S. senator. I think she's very conservative. I think she and Tommy Tuberville have worked well together in neighboring states. They're both running for governor. So she's running to be the governor of Tennessee. And they both, oh, by the way, have one other thing in common. They were both investigated by Jack Smith, the special counsel appointed by the Merrick Garland Biden DOJ. Well, they were both had their phones monitored, and she says now that she is discussing the idea of, here's what she said, quote, there are 8 senators that the FBI spied on. They pulled all of our phone records, every call that came into us and order that we made, where we were physically standing when the call was made, the duration of the call, the individual that either received or made the call to us, and they pulled all those records, and there's no reason for them to have done that, Blackburn said. She went on to say she believes it was against the law and a violation of our constitutional rights. Says we cannot find the predicate, she argued. It's a violation of our First and Fourth Amendment rights, separation of powers, the Stored Communications Act, the Speech and Debate Clause. And yes, the 8 of us are looking at filing charges against the Biden FBI, the Biden DOJ, and Jack Smith. Okay, that's, listen, she made quite the statement. Tuberville just said, go ahead and disbar Jack Smith and lock him up. That's all he said.
So he said the same thing in less words, pretty much.
He did. But that's interesting. So what we're looking at right there is the 2 U.S. senators who are both running for governors of their respective southeastern states are now saying that they are considering pressing charges against Jack Smith and members of the Biden DOJ. That's something else, man. That's a whole new day. Just saying. All right. I am cooking up a batch of home fries. Give me some home fries right there. Yeah. Home fries. Smell them cooking in the pan. Stories that happen in and around and amongst you. Here's one. This government shutdown, y'all. We just hit 28 days. Come on. I mean, wow. So 28 days of the Schumer shutdown. And what's amazing to me is how they are doing all they can to try and put this off on the Republicans. Everybody who's paying attention, which I hope is everybody, but everybody who's paying attention knows that you have to have 60 votes and that every Republican is voting for the continuing resolution. Every single one of them, with the exception of Rand Paul. I will say that. Rand Paul has never voted for a CR ever, as far as I know. But that being said, the Republican caucus is voting for this. The Democrats, even today, just so y'all know, listen to me, everybody in the sound of my voice, if you are a government employee, if you are a military member, if you are someone who works with government contracts that are on hold, if you are someone who relies upon, oh, I don't know, maybe you're trying to get your passport done so you can go on a trip and you can't get it right now. Maybe you're trying to file paperwork with the IRS and nobody answers the phone right now. Maybe you're trying to take a flight and your flight's delayed because air traffic controllers aren't getting paid. Guess what? Even today, Democrats once again today voted no on the continuing resolution to not open government. 28 days. We're at a month, y'all. Well, the piece I've got that also impacts the listening area is this. 1819 News has a piece that came out yesterday saying Alabama's SNAP benefits to end in November due to government shutdown. Quote is, the well has run dry. I talked about this briefly yesterday. But right now, it is kind of a crying shame how many people in the United States participate in government entitlement programs or you know, like basically things like Medicaid and in this case, SNAP, which is what we used to call food stamps back in the day. It's the EBT cards. SNAP and WIC. SNAP is Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program. WIC is called the Women, Infants, and Children's Program. Both of these are done using federal funds administered by the states. The EBT card is refilled on a monthly basis so that people can go buy their groceries. I would love to see less people on that. However, what I would also advise is that you don't cut them off overnight because you don't want to vote on a bill. That's how you create havoc. Well, right now, they're saying that the U.S. Department, or excuse me, the Alabama Department of Human Resources received guidance from USDA that the suspension of the SNAP benefits for the month of November is due to the federal government shutdown. Recipients will be able to use their benefits up to November 1st at any SNAP-authorized retailer. This is not going to go over well. And I wonder, what do you think, man? How long can Democrats hold out on this?
I really don't know. I kind of thought that they would already budge by now. But, you know, part of me thinks that they want chaos. I've already seen a bunch of people on TikTok who are saying, you know, if we come Thanksgiving and I can't buy my Thanksgiving with, you know, my SNAP, then, you know, I'm gonna lose my mind and all hell is gonna break loose. Part of me thinks maybe that's what Democrats want. They want the chaos so that they can pin it on Trump and the Republicans, which is a really sad and sick place for the Democratic Party to be at. But like, I honestly feel like that's in their mind the only way that they think they can win is to just create as much havoc and chaos as possible and then blame Trump, and then they can come in after everything, you know, is burnt down. Like, that's, unfortunately, I kind of feel like that's where they're thinking, but I don't know.
You know, I wonder too, there's a couple of bellwether elections out there right now. You've got the Virginia governor's race with Winsome Sears. You've got the New Jersey governor's race with Cittarelli, the Republican. You've got the mayor of New York with Mondani and Cuomo. I wonder if Democrats are playing, you know, gamesmanship, where they're going to watch to see if we can prevail in these elections, then we'll call ourselves having a mandate and we'll stay in the fight. Or if we see that we can't prevail, that maybe we need to move on and, you know, and recognize that the sentiments are not with us. I'm just wondering if that's part of what the calculus is here.
Well, AOC and Bernie Sanders were at Mamdani's big rally earlier this week, and they love going to all of these rallies and blaming the government shutdown on Trump and the Republicans and saying how they're fighting the big fascists by having, you know, and he's shut the government down, but we're fighting them. Like that, I feel like that's their only card they have. Yeah, so
absolutely. I listen, it's nuts. All I know is this. There's people about to go hungry. There's people who have worked for a living that are not getting paid. There's government services we can't get. I was talking to an accountant the other day who's been working on filing people's paperwork, and he said they can't even get the IRS to answer. And this is a CPA who does this for a living. He knows how to reach people, and he can't even get through. So there's that. I got a call real quick. I'll take it for the break. I got about a minute. So Wolverine Dan, hey, buddy, how are you?
Well, after what you just said, I'm sick to my stomach. This is ridiculous.
Yeah.
I cannot believe what I'm hearing and what I'm seeing right now. And you know something? We air traffic controllers are working super long hours.
Yep.
And you know, I don't want this to happen, but what if something happens in the air? And the reason why is that they don't have enough air traffic controllers, or they're so overworked, somebody passes out, for crying out loud. This is ridiculous. All the children, stop your fighting amongst each other. Get down, sit at a table, and work this out. Because this is ridiculous.
I'm not arguing, man. And I've already seen a couple of airports have had to shut down or curtail their operations just because of it.
Yeah, well, you know what? Next time we need to do something about this. They need to stop paying these representatives. You ain't getting nothing till you figure it out. We all feel that way because when we don't work, like my son, he's not getting paid.
Yep. I feel it, man. I got members of my family in the same boat. Wolverine Dan, love you, man. Have a great day. See you, bro. Got to take a break. There it is. Take that break. We'll come right back and put a wrap on home fries. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Just giving you all the truth you can slap on a bumper sticker, man. I'm telling you. That's it. I got a couple more stories here I was going to bring up as part of the home fries segment. So cook me up some home fries there, JP. Smell them. Love me some home fries. All right. So 1819 had a story that I did not recall this. But the dateline of the story is today. However, the incident, it occurred in the year 2020. Let that sink in. An illegal alien has been arrested by the Decatur Police Department, charged with 3 counts of murder for his role in a fatal car crash. According to a local news report, Adelaido Jimenez Barrientos, 48, is accused of killing Tammy Martin in Morgan County while driving under the influence of alcohol in November 2020. A grand jury has indicated that Barrientos struck Martin's vehicle, leading to her death. 3 counts of murder, despite Martin being the only victim listed. I'm not sure what. Okay, anyway. He was being held on $50,000 bond in the Morgan County Jail. He's been placed under an ICE detainer. So now, what's curious to me is this happened in 2020, and it's just now. I mean, I don't know if they had not located him. All I know is this: there's another illegal alien who, because he was here, someone died, and that's all there is to it. I mean, this is one of those in the law we have things we call a but-for. but for this happening, the proximate cause of something occurring is but for this, there would not have been a result. So but for his presence, there would not have been a DUI crash. Had the illegal not been here, there would not have been a crash that killed someone right here in Alabama.
So I guess that means he had a valid driver's license while he was here, or did he not?
I would say no, since we don't issue them.
That's true. It was here in Alabama. It wasn't in like California.
Unless he came from another state. I don't know the answer to that question. So, yeah, California has a history of issuing driver's licenses and commercial driver's licenses. Yeah, and all that. Last story I've got, and I'll get some text messages. So U.S. Senate has now confirmed Bill Lewis as a district judge for the Middle District of Alabama. All right. I'm going through the process right now. I don't know Bill Lewis personally. I have heard nothing but good things, though. So, Governor Kay Ivey appointed Bill Lewis, to the Alabama Court of Civil Appeals back in February of 24. He served on that court, but he was just picked up to be a new federal district court judge for the Middle District of Alabama. Y'all, first of all, it is hard to put into words the extent to which, like for instance, all the backgrounds and everything else that you have to go through for these appointments. But I will say this, he has now already moved through the confirmation process and is being seated on the bench. And if you haven't heard me say it before, hear me say it now. The federal district court judgeship is one of the most powerful positions in the entire nation. Think about it. Who is it that keeps trying to, you know, curtail the Trump administration's efforts? Who is it that keeps saying executive orders are unconstitutional? What's happening is federal district court judges that are put in who are not qualified or who come in with a liberal agenda are oftentimes found to be what we legislating from the bench. Bill Lewis is a good dude, and I'm excited about the fact that he just got appointed to the bench. And that's for life for good cause, by the way. He's going to be there for a while. But all that to say, you're watching right now across the nation why it's so important to have quality judges put into a federal district court judgeship, because those positions are incredibly powerful. What happens in the appellate levels beyond that is dealing with what the federal district court judge did or said or opined. So that's good. Alabama is racking them up. We just had, I think we have two that just got, Edmund Acor, I believe, just got confirmed also. So anyway, yay. That's good. Hope one day you're reading about me getting confirmed too. Very soon.
Very soon.
That's my hope. All right, let me get a few text messages. I got about a minute for the break. Brian from Decatur says, if you find a police force failed to hold an illegal immigrant on an ICE detainer and freed him, later that individual hurts and kills somebody, can you sue the police department? It depends. So here's the thing. Did they willfully or recklessly act outside the line of scope of their duties by doing that? Did they choose, or was it an oversight? Like there's no way they could have seen it. So there's going to be issues there. And I would have to say that Alabama is also what's known as a contributory negligent state. So if it's a negligent accident in state court law, then you're going to wind up having to prove that you or that the individual didn't contribute to their own injuries. I say all that knowing what I'm saying. But my answer to you, Brian, is it depends. Tom from Decatur says, it's been my understanding that a foreign driver's license is accepted not only as ID, but driving privileges as well in Alabama. I'm not aware of that. I think I need to see that law. Because I think if you get pulled over and you have a foreign driver's license, that's acceptable. But if you are an illegal alien with a stand-in license from the state of California, I don't know that counts. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. Hour number 3 coming up.